Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Genesis with Pastor Dave. Sometimes, the greater we try to help the Lord, the greater we can hinder Him from working in our lives. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Genesis chapter 27, starting in verse 24, through chapter 28, ending in verse 9, where we see a dysfunctional family trying to be God's agents instead of His instruments. And we will see the catastrophe in trying to do just that. More on that now. Here's Pastor Dave.
Genesis chapter 27, it's been a few weeks since we've been together, and I suppose that the best way to kind of start this message would be sort of cautioning you, exhorting you to be aware that it's so easy as a Christian for you and for myself to cool down. It's so easy just by simply straying from the Lord just a little bit, straying from His Word just a little bit, it's so simple for you and I to begin to become cool. I often think of our spirituality with physical terms. I mean, you think of how it is to get in shape and how much work goes into getting in shape and eating the proper foods and sticking to a workout routine, and it takes so long to get where you want to get. But all it takes is a week or a couple of weeks before you start to feel like jello again, and your body feels mush, just eating the wrong things and not being dedicated to your routine the way that you once were. And before you know it, it seems like you've lost everything that you've gained. And a lot of that can apply to spirituality, that you can walk with the Lord for so long. In fact, you can walk with the Lord for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years and still not be past the place in life of falling away, of backsliding and cooling down. We see that tonight with the life of Isaac in chapter 27. This is the guy that willingly laid down upon the altar, remember, on Mount Moriah, where his father was ready to slay him as a free will offering unto the Lord out of obedience. And here he is years and years later after walking with the Lord, being raised in the church, being raised as a Christian, totally in a depraved state. And not only himself, but also his family. I mean, this is the idea dysfunctional family. If you've come from a dysfunctional family tonight, which I think we all do, right? We're in good company as we see this family that God has not only called, but God is going to fulfill His plans through. Everybody in this chapter is doing the wrong thing. Everybody in this chapter is doing the wrong thing. And what blows me away about it all is that God in the picture here is just kind of standing back and letting things play out. He's just kind of standing back and kind of just watching His creation, watching His children really just make a fool out of themselves. And it's His amazing grace that He allows any of us to do anything that we do, good or bad. Listen to what Griffin Thomas said. He said, "Most human catastrophes have been brought about by men and women regarding themselves as agents instead of instruments, and by thinking that the world cannot possibly be managed except by their shrewdness and sharp practice." And then he goes on to say, "Ability must be consecrated to God if it is to be of real service." And so you and I, we're not really God's agents, we're His instruments. And we're not really called to figure things out and to help God fulfill His plan. We're simply just to be a part of His program as He sees fit and as He wills. Now, there's a worldly saying that many people use, and perhaps even you find yourself using, and the church, no doubt, has allowed it within its four walls, and it's not appropriate, and that is that the end justifies the means. The end justifies the means. Paul rebuked that in his letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse 8, it says this. Paul writing, he said, "And why not say this? Let us do evil that good may come. As we are slanderously reported and as some affirm that we say, their condemnation is just." Or God forbid that we would say that. We are never justified in doing wrong to bring about that which is good. And so remember that. Don't let the culture of this world around us creep into our mentality and our way of thinking. We're never justified by doing the wrong things to bring about that which is good. And so a little review before I explain to you and apply to you what I'm talking about here in this chapter. It's been a few weeks. What's gone on here in chapter 27, remember, Isaac is old. He's 137 years old. This is the age of his brother Ishmael when he died. And so he has it in his head that I'm on my last breath. I'm about to die. I'm about to go home to the Lord. And yet, little does he know that he's going to live for another 43 years. And so we're told in this chapter that he wanted his son, Esau, his favorite, to hunt him some meat and to make him some stew. This man was all about the food, the flesh, in this chapter. And so he said to Esau, "Esau, if you go out and you get me some good game and you bring it back and cook it up nice, if you do this for me, then I will bless you. I will pour a blessing upon your life." Now, Rebecca, Isaac's wife, she knew that the blessing from God was not for Esau, but it was for Jacob. And so she overheard this, and this greatly troubled her. And so she told her son, her favorite, as the text depicts for us, about the plan that Isaac had with Esau. And so she says, "Listen, you go out and get some meat. I'll cook it up for you. I'll dress you up nice, nice." Here he is, 77 years old, and he is a mama's boy still. She's like, "You go and you get the food. I'll cook it. I'll put you in a nice robe. We'll take the fur from the animals. We'll put it from your hands to your elbows. We'll cover your smooth, pretty little neck up. And they'll never know, your dad will never know that it's you. We're going to deceive your dad." And so where we pick up tonight, Genesis chapter 27, verse 18, he's all dressed, he's all ready to go, and he's all ready to deceive his dad. It tells us this, Genesis 27, verse 18. "And he," talking about Jacob, "came unto his father, and he said, 'My father.' Isaac said, 'Here I am. Who are you, my son?'" What we're going to see here as we move through this text is that at this age, Isaac really, his senses are no longer true to him. The only thing that he really has left that is working is his hearing. And I find that interesting because many times, especially in the Old Testament, when it's referring to the word hearing, it's oftentimes talking about the hearing of the heart. And it's amazing to me that God has chosen to speak to us. And what we do with that, what we do with when God is speaking to us, is completely up to ourselves. There's that free will once again. And so his hearing is still true to him. He says, "Who is it that is calling me?" In Jacob, this is review for many of us. We read these verses a couple weeks ago. We see four lies in verse 19 and one sentence. Jacob says to his dad, here's lie number one, "I am Esau." Lie number two, "Your firstborn." Lie number three, "I have done according as you have badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat." Number four lie, "of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And remember, as we talked about this a few weeks ago, that in order for a believer or a person to lie to others, first they must lie to themselves. Before the act of adultery is committed, before the act of murder is committed, or whatever sin, the sin that is the underlying sin is first the sin of deception, deceiving my own self before I can deceive others, lying to my own self and even convincing myself of my own lies. I've dealt with people so much that they lie so often, they don't even know the truth anymore. They contradict their stories. They don't even remember what they told you because their lives are based on lies. And they believe their own lies, and they had to sell themselves to their own lies and deception in order to deceive others. Our hearts are so dangerous. Our hearts are so crafty if they're not brought under the subjection of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And so we see here, Isaac, he's lied to himself. He's convinced himself, "I have to be God's agent instead of God's instrument. I have to bring about God's plan. The blessing was supposed to be for me." God said that in chapter 25. Certainly, he didn't say chapter 25. But God said that when I was in my mother's womb, that I was supposed to be the one that inherits the birthright, that the older was supposed to serve the younger, which is me. Esau, my wicked brother and my father, they're trying to get in the way. I better hurry and help God out. Instead of sitting back and saying, hey, man, this is exciting. I can't wait to see how God's going to work now. There's some challenges. There's some objections that are being put in his way. I can't wait to see how he's going to intervene by the power of his spirit and work mightily. Instead of giving God his rightful place, he says, hang on a minute here. I got to get in the mix. I got to roll up my sleeves and do what I got to do here to keep these guys from interrupting what God has for me. Instead of trusting in the Lord, he's relying on his own understanding. And so he goes forward here, and he's lied to himself. He's convinced himself that I'm doing this act for the Lord. And now he's able to, four times in one sentence, lie to his father. And this is the man that is later going to become the nation of Israel that our Messiah, Jesus Christ, is going to come through. Encouraging, isn't it? That you see the people that God used. You see the family, this dysfunctional family. We can make a reality TV show out of these people. He lies to his dad as his dad is trying to deceive him. I mean, everybody's doing the wrong thing. And it says in verse 20, Isaac said unto his son, how is it, my son, that you have found it so quickly? Talking of the meat. And he said, because the Lord thy God has brought it to me. Now he's bringing God into this thing, you know. God has been in the mix. God has helped me. God has given me favor. And Isaac said unto Jacob, verse 21, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son. Come near me so that I can feel thee, my son, whether you be my very son or not. It's so dangerous when you and I, in our walks with the Lord, and our relationship with the Lord, when we begin to depend upon how we feel. Let me feel you. Let me see what this seems like to my senses. Instead, we're so much better off when we bring our behavior into submission to God's word. Whenever we're willing to do that, our feelings will always follow. When I bring my actions and my behavior unto submission to God's word, even if I don't feel like doing it, when I humble myself and I submit myself willingly to the authority of the word of God, my feelings will always fall in line. But instead here, Isaac saying, let me feel you. Let me touch you. Let me go based on what my senses tell me who you are. Remember what Barnhouse said. He said, when anyone relies upon feelings as the evidence of faith, he will be doomed to disappointment, as was Isaac. If you're here tonight and you're trying to know the will of God, you're trying to do those things in your life that are pleasing to God, and you're basing it on how you feel, you will fall on your face. You will be miserable. We are told by Paul to the Corinthian church that we are to walk by faith and not by sight, not what appears right before us or to our senses. And so he says, come here, my son. Again, in the middle of verse 21, let me feel you and see whether or not you are Esau. And so Jacob, verse 22, he went near unto Isaac, his father. He felt him and he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Harry. That's what Esau's name means. The hands are the hands of Harry. Something's going on here. You feel like your brother Esau. But the only sense that remains true to me, it's not my eyes, it's not even my smell, it's not my touch. The only sense that remains true to me are my ears. That very thing that God gave me to speak to me to, God chose to speak to his people. It's just like you and I here tonight. That we have God's word before us. We've asked God to breathe life through his message. Certainly, no doubt, there's life in his word, regardless of if we ask him to do that or not. I ask him to breathe life into it because he's got a fool like me up here preaching to you. But in any event, we say, Lord, breathe life into this message. God speaks to us. He's given us ears to hear. He who has an ear to hear, Jesus said, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Right? He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. And so God has given this ability. Yes, your senses are telling you one thing, but what is the conviction of my Holy Spirit telling you? You see, that's something that we have to do tonight. We have to sit here before the Lord, and we have to say, Lord, in this Bible study, maybe not every verse is going to have something to do with my life and what I'm going through. That's part of what we do here at Calvary. We go from line upon line, from Genesis to Revelation. You might come here, and there might be a study that you sit in, and you're thinking, man, a lot of this doesn't really apply to me. But if your heart is right, and you're really desiring to hear from the Lord, something will be for you because God's word is alive and is powerful. And if you're choosing to bend your ear to him, you're going to receive something. Not because of anything that the preacher is doing or anything the preacher is saying, but because his word is alive. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to divide asunder the innermost parts of our being and minister to us if we're willing. Now, when we're in a place of decision-making, when we're at a crossroads, when we're in a place of trying to do the right thing and we're struggling with doing the wrong thing, when we're being tempted, God is faithful to his children to always allow a rooster to crow in their life. God is faithful to his children to always kind of flash that warning sign, don't go there. Whether it's being in a Bible study, whether it's driving in your car and you turn on 99.7 and the pastor is speaking directly to you, you think that pastor's stalking you. Whether it's a brother or sister coming up to you with a word of knowledge, which is a gift of the Spirit, come up to you and saying, hey, listen, I don't know what you're going through, but something tells me you're getting in a relationship with somebody that you shouldn't be in, and I'm just giving you a warning, you're going to get hurt if you continue to pursue it. And they have no clue what you're getting into at work or at school, that you're really about to engage with this person that doesn't love Jesus Christ, and you just feel so overwhelmed. You know what I'm talking about if you're a believer. God's Spirit is so faithful to do this. Now, at that moment, it's a defining moment in our relationship with the Lord. We can either simply say, I don't want to hear about it. We can shut the voice off of the Holy Spirit. We can totally harden our hearts and act as though that rooster isn't even crowing. Or we could stop dead in our tracks. We could fall on our face before the Lord and say, oh my goodness, what a wretch I am. I can't believe how close I am to the edge. I can't believe how close I am to that line that God has drawn in my life and said, don't cross it. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, thank you for your love for me enough to warn me and to stop me before I actually pursue this thing, before I actually pursue this person that is off limits from you. You see, but we all have these opportunities, and honestly, it's a daily thing. And the fear that I have in my own life is that each time I reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that I become less and less sensitive to his voice. The greatest gift outside of Jesus Christ that God has given to me is the conviction of his Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit abides within me, and through the Spirit of God working in my life, I am becoming more and more like my Savior. There is nothing worth jeopardizing the intimacy of the relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Not in my life. There is nothing worth it. I never want it to be said of me that the Holy Spirit departed from me and I didn't even know because my heart was so hard. Because I wouldn't stop and I wouldn't heed to those things that he was ministering to me. Here, the Spirit of God is, through his hearing, trying to show him, you're off, buddy. Stop where you are. But instead, we're told in verse 22 that Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father. He felt him and he said, again, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Hairy. And he discerned him not because his hands were hairy and his brother Esau's hands are so. And so he blessed him. And in verse 24, Isaac says, are you my son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me and I will eat of my son's venison that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he did drink. Remember, as I told you a few weeks ago, seven times in this chapter, the word venison is mentioned. Six times, the words savory meat are mentioned, and eight times, the word eat is mentioned. There is one thing that is on his mind, and it is food. He's being completely driven by the flesh. You see how the flesh is, though. Just like he was literally hungry for this meal. Just like it was literally making him just drool at the mouth, just desiring this food so badly. This is how our flesh is with its desires. It doesn't care. The flesh knows no bounds. There is nothing that is off limits to the flesh. The flesh will go as far as it possibly has to go, not worrying about who it hurts, or how many people it hurts to achieve or to obtain that thing that it desires. There is no bounds to to how far the flesh is willing to go. And so all he can think about is the food. All he can think about is satisfying himself in the here and now, at that very moment, his present heart's desire. And so he tells him, he says, bring me the food. He eats and he drinks. And in verse 26, his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And so in verse 27, he came near and he kissed him and he smelled the smell of his raiment and he blessed him and he said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. And so he smells like the outdoors and he's a hairy man. I mean, this guy, you know, Esau, he's a man's man. And Isaac is totally appreciating it. He's saying, you smell like the fields. You're a hairy beast. I mean, this is exactly what I've always wanted in a son. And so in verse 28, it says, therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, verse 29. And nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that cursed thee, and blessed be he that blessed thee. Now, these verses are very important in our study tonight. Because what we see here is Isaac's deliberate actions contradicting what the Lord told him concerning his sons. He is blatantly going against what God declared to him and Rebekah when the boys were still in her womb. He is making a statement so he thinking that he pulled a fast one over God, thinking that he deceived God, so he thinks, making his son Esau, the older, the blessed one, the one that would inherit those things that God intended for Jacob. You see, there's great application to you and I as the believer tonight that our preferences aren't to take precedence over God's revealed will. Our preferences are not to take precedence over God's revealed will in our lives. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you prefer. And I will not be a popular pastor for saying so.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride and hit the ground.